the train that takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
G'day, I'm Mac, and welcome to episode number 7 of Act to the Penalty Box, coming to you from the Channel X studio here in Western Sydney. An interesting weekend of ice hockey here in the Australian Ice Hockey League this week, covering the weekend of the 19th and 20th of July, and coming up to the following weekend, the 26th and the 27th of July, as we come towards the end of the season. But before we get into that and a lot more, please be upstanding for the national anthem of Sweden. I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 7 of Eric to the Penalty Box, and that is the national anthem of Sweden. I thought that now that I've played the Canadian, the US, and the Australian anthem, I thought that I would start playing the national anthem of some of the countries that we have imports from in the Australian Ice Hockey League as I try and recreate the feel of a match. Hello, hope you're all well, and this weekend, just gone, the 19th and 20th of July, was certainly an interesting one for many reasons that I'll detail, and also looking forward to this weekend coming up, the 26th and 27th of July, as we basically have one more month of hockey to come before the finals in Melbourne. Speaking of the finals in Melbourne, if you want to go, be very, very quick. Go to the official league website for more information. You'll need to be very, very quick. Standing room is available now, and very, very limited seating if the seats haven't already sold out at the Ice House in Melbourne. Our theme song, Away Game, by the Zambonis, very, very relevant this week, as I was able to meet a young super fan. So hello to Tyler and also his dad Scott and his mum Kathy, who came all the way over from Perth to see the Perth Thunder play against the Bears and also against the Ice Dogs on the weekend. It was absolutely awesome to meet you guys. And if Tyler's the future of the league, well, we're in good hands, I think. It was a very, very good weekend. And also congratulations to the Ice Dogs and also to the Bears, the Mustangs and the Thunder, among others, who have shown Tyler some compassion over the last few months. Anywho, let's continue and talk about the weekend. That was one of the good things about the weekend, meeting a super family of the league, meeting various people at the arenas that I went to. But of course, the elephant in the room, so to speak, was the unfortunate bus crash of one of the team buses heading down to Canberra. The Adelaide Adrenaline, they flew into Sydney, and then on Saturday they were to play the CBR Brave in Canberra, and then on Sunday they were to come back to Sydney and to play against the Bears on Sunday afternoon before heading to the airport and flying back to Adelaide on Sunday night. But unfortunately for them, it was an awful weekend before even getting to the ice and before meeting the CBR Brave. One of the buses left the road and rolled a couple of times, and there were some injuries. Some players were taken to hospital along with staff, coaching staff, and also the bus driver. All of those players and other people have been released from hospital, thankfully. And all of the Adelaide team and players are now back in Adelaide preparing for next week's match. Now, of course, the news went around the Australian Ice Hockey League community on Saturday afternoon when it was firstly announced that the game against the CBR Brave was postponed, and then later on, as the word of the crash went around the league, it was also announced that the Sunday game against the Bears was cancelled, both games to be replayed at a time and venue to be determined, although with very limited time towards the end of the season. And of course, they would want to make sure, if possible, to make sure that the clubs that were going to host the Adrenaline, the CBR Brave and also the Sydney Bears, won't be disadvantaged. And also, because it's a very tight competition later, it's going to be interesting to see what they do to replay the games, and if they can't replay the games, how the points are going to be allocated, because it was beyond the control of the two home clubs, but it was also beyond the control of the Adrenaline. Of course, there has been a precedent set this year with the Newcastle North Stars against Ice Dogs match in Liverpool, when the bus didn't make it down to Liverpool, so there is a precedent set there. That match was replayed on Newcastle home ice, but because they wanted to try and get it back at Liverpool, that wasn't possible, but that was still treated as an Ice Dogs home game. But of course, as you can imagine, you know, the issues of having neutral venues and also other venues and limited ice time, it's trouble enough in the league without having to reschedule matches. So two games weren't played this weekend: CBR Brave versus the Adrenaline on Saturday and Sydney Bears against the Adrenaline on Sunday. Those matches weren't played, and as I said, will be rescheduled hopefully at some stage in the coming weeks. My original plan was to go and see the Bears against the Thunder on Saturday and then the Bears against the Adrenaline on Sunday. That didn't work, so I ended up following the Thunder from the Bears Dome to the Ice Dogs Dome instead. So I got to see a bit of the Thunder this weekend, which was very, very good. And let's talk about that particular first game. The Brave against the Adrenaline didn't happen, and news was filtering through in the middle of the, or just before the start of the Bears and Thunder game. So let's see how that went. So, of course, it's hard to work out what sort of effect the Adrenaline bus crash had on the two teams, the Thunder versus the Bears, both of them down towards the bottom of the competition table at the moment in the Australian Ice Hockey League. But the match, to me, I don't know if I've been spoilt, because since being back from overseas, I've seen two games at the Ice House in Melbourne. I've seen the Ice Dogs versus Sydney Bears Battle of Sydney at Liverpool. I saw the Ice Dogs and Brave game at Liverpool. So I don't know if it's a case of I've been spoilt, but this game to me just seemed very, very slow in pace, lots of passes being missed and things like that. Of course, the Bears coming back after their horror trip to Melbourne, and they would have been very keen to get some points on the board. The first and only goal of the first period came to the Thunder after about 4 minutes of play. It went to the Thunder. Stuart Steffen scored with an assist from Justin Fox, and that was it for the end of the first period. At the end of the first period, Thunder 1-0. Shots at goal surprisingly favoured the Bears 10-7 at the end of the first period, and there was only one penalty as well. Andrew Cox from the Thunder for holding right at the end of the first period. However, the Bears weren't able to convert that power play into points. In the second period, it was a case of same, same again. The whole game just seemed very, very slow to me. As I said, I don't know if I've been spoilt or if I don't know if the players were taking some time to get into their groove or they had the adrenaline on their mind, who knows. But things just seemed very, very slow. It looked like the Bears were going to be next on board at about the 3 minute mark to go in the second period. However, the goal was awarded on the ice and all the Bears fans started celebrating. And then the Zebras confirmed mid-ice. And for some reason, I don't know what, maybe Darryl Hamilton in Melbourne blew his whistle or something, who knows. But that goal was actually waved off. And then after that, I think the Bears were a bit stunned and the Thunder had very, very quickly two more goals on the board. At 3 minutes 22, Andrew Cox scored with an assist from Robert Hasselhurst, and basically a minute later, Justin Fox also had a goal to make it 3-0 at this stage. And so who knows what that was going to what was going to happen in the third period. Shots a goal in the second period, 10-all. And there were actually no penalties in the second period. In the third period, the Sydney Bears finally got on the board after a power play at 4 minutes and 7. Lee Turner scored from Sean Hamilton-Steen, who I've been calling Robo-Steen, and Ben DeMarco to make the score 3-1. And right at the end, Jordan Kryos from way, way in the suburbs fired a shot into the Bears' empty net to get an empty net goal with 18 seconds remaining. Fairly slow game. The Thunder will be glad to have 3 points on the table. Meanwhile, the Bears, while they played better than what they did in Melbourne, and they only conceded 4 goals instead of 10 against the ice, would still be disappointed with the result. A couple of penalties to Robert Hasselhurst from the Thunder, who spent some quality time in the Thunder box in the third period, and a couple of penalties, one for either team at the 2 minute 18 mark, Brandon Stobbs for high sticking from the Bears and Stuart Steffen for interference from the Thunder. Both goaltenders were playing fine. Matthew Dugas, an absolute machine. I was glad I was able to watch both of his games over the weekend. He saved 37 out of 38 shots. And Daniel Palmquist got pulled for a short period to try and create the extra man for the Bears. That didn't work. He saved 24 from 27. And he was looking fine despite the scoreline. So a nice game, but a slow one at the Bears Dome. And the Perth Thunder ended up beating the Sydney Bears 4-1. And that, of course, during that game, it was announced that the following day's game between the Bears and the Adrenaline was postponed. So a few of us decided to head off to Liverpool the following day. Now, looking at the second game that I went and saw, I thought I'd do things a little bit differently this week. I thought that I would tell you about the games that I saw first and then go through the games that I didn't see. The following day, I went to Liverpool to see the Sydney Ice Dogs against the Perth Thunder. For reasons that I mentioned earlier, my original plan was to see Bears versus Adrenaline, but I was very glad that I went to this game. It was a very, very high-quality game, a noticeable increase in the tempo compared to the previous day. The Sydney Ice Dogs, they welcomed back John Cleary from international representative duties representing Canada in an inline tournament overseas, so they welcomed him back, and their line of Simon Barg and John Cleary and David Dunwoody and Robert Molloy, who was back from suspension, they were absolutely on fire. By the time that the first period horn went, it was 3-0 to the Ice Dogs. Simon Barg opened up the scoring at 13:24. With an assist from John Cleary and Paddy Ward. The next one was interesting, if not from anything apart from a social media point of view. At 10:22, it was a power play goal to David Dunwoody. But when the announcer announced it, I heard that Dunwoody had scored the goal. And then I didn't hear who got the first assist, but I heard that Paddy Ward got the second assist. So on Twitter, I've tweeted, goal Dunwoody, assisted by some guy and Paddy Ward. Now, we found out eventually that some guy happened to be Ice Dogs captain Robert Molloy, but that led to me being sent a rather awesome graphic where I'm not the only person to credit some guy. Some guy was credited in a NHL game, the Phoenix Coyotes against the LA Kings, and for some reason, the people producing the coverage in LA credited some guy as scoring two goals. So I wasn't the only one there. So the second goal, power play goal, David Dunwoody from Robert Molloy, Robert some guy Molloy, and Paddy Ward. And then with 7:29 to go, John Cleary picked up his first goal of the afternoon from Simon Barg and Robert Molloy. So 3-0 at the end of the first period, and the Ice Dogs well ahead and dominating 13-8 shots at goal for the first period. There were some penalties in the first period for a range of offences, including tripping, cross-checking, tripping, slashing, and hooking, with 3 to the Thunder and 2 to the Ice Dogs. So at some stages there, it felt like a penalty-a-thon, like what was happening over the weekend in Melbourne that we'll speak about. But it was a interesting time trying to work out who was on the ice, who wasn't, and if we were actually going to get back to 5-on-5 hockey at some stage during this game. The second period was dominated by the Perth Thunder. They opened up with a power play goal at 13:13 to go. Stuart Steffen scored another goal for the weekend, with an assist from Jonathan Bremer and Justin Fox. And then about 30 seconds later, Andrew Cox scored another goal for his weekend with assists from Jordan Kryos and Sam Wilson. And a lot of penalties again in the second period, cross-checking, interference, roughing, cross-checking and hooking, again fairly evenly divided between the Ice Dogs and the Thunder. The shots at goal favoured the Thunder this time in this period, 11-6. And the score at the end of the second period was 3-2 to the Ice Dogs. 3-2 to the Ice Dogs, but who knows what was going to happen in the last period. The last period started up with another couple of goals to the Ice Dogs. John Cleary picked up another goal to make his second goal for the afternoon at 6:55, and David Dunwoody basically sealed it for the Ice Dogs at 5:28, his second goal for the afternoon. And then with 29 seconds to go, the Thunder made it a bit more respectable at 29 seconds to go, Andrew Cox scoring there. So that was his double for the afternoon as well. Lots of people could have got into the penalty box in the third period, but didn't. There was an interesting stage with 3 minutes 25 to go in the third period where lots of players were punching on for both teams. It turned out that the Paddy Ward from the Ice Dogs received 2 minutes for roughing, and from the Thunder, Greg Hyde and Justin Fox received some as well. Hyde for roughing and Justin Fox for a cross check. David Dunwoody can consider himself very lucky that he remained on the ice as well. Paddy Ward actually wasn't shown on the scoreboard as having a foul, but Corey Toy, or as I was calling him, Thunder Toy, he was on the scoreboard but not on the official sheet. So there was a bit of confusion there about who was going. It took the Zebras quite some time to decide who was going to go into the penalty box and who wasn't. Both goaltenders cover themselves with glory. Matthew Dugas, despite the Thunder being, you know, way down in sixth position at the moment, he was standing on his head basically during that third period especially. And Tim Notting as well from the Ice Dogs, certainly not disgraced either. A high quality game. And to end up to give the Thunder that little bit of sniff of hope, even though they were down 2 goals at that stage with 14 seconds to go. Paddy Ward, or as I was calling him on Twitter while I was live tweeting, Paddy O penalty box, received a roughing minor with 14 seconds to go. But try as they might, the Thunder didn't quite get there, but they came back. It was a very valiant effort. The Ice Dogs winning shots at goal in the third period, 19 to 11 and 38 to 30 in total. Both teams were able to convert one of their 5 power plays for 20%. And so Matthew Dugas, he saved 33 from 38. And at the other end, Tim Notting saved 27 from 30. So lots of traffic there for the two tenders, and it was a very, very interesting game. This is actually the first time that the Ice Dogs and the Thunder had actually met for the year.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
I'll grab your puck. Feels so good. Baby, let's
the penalty box of love. I'm looking at the scoreboard above me. She's sitting in the stands. I see her, she sees me. We're watching the game.
Welcome to the second period of Episode 7 of Irk to the Penalty Box. We've had a look at both of the games that were in Sydney last weekend on the Australian Ice Hockey League calendar. Let's have a look at the two games in Melbourne that I didn't see. The first game between the Melbourne Mustangs and the Newcastle North Stars on the Saturday. And then on Sunday, the Fox Sports game of the week between the Melbourne Ice and the Newcastle North Stars. Both at the Ice House in Melbourne. Very, very frustrating, both of these games, by all reports, reading from various people who were there from any of the clubs. So it just wasn't one-sided, like the losing team saying that they were frustrated by the refereeing or anything like that. It was people connected with both clubs, writers, fans. A lot of people were just stunned with the amount of penalties that were handed out over the weekend. And so the Newcastle North Stars headed to Melbourne. They really, really needed to get at least 3 points to keep their very slim final chances alive, but unfortunately that didn't happen. In the first game, the Mustangs defeated the North Stars 6-3. Now, the first period, there were three penalties, but after the second and the third period, the penalties just exploded. The Mustangs hit the scoreboard first at 4 minutes and 18 seconds. A power play goal to Joey Hughes from Jeffrey Grant from the Mustangs opened the scoring. And then a couple of shorthanded goals at 2 minutes 26. Victor gives Shanine from Jamie Burke and Troy Robinson. And then 23 seconds later, another one for Joey Hughes. So a double for Joey Hughes from Jeff Grant and Jack Wogamuth. And then finally, at the death, with 7 seconds to go in the first period, the North Stars got on the board at 0 seconds. At 7 seconds to go, Chris Wilson from Katie Danberg and Hayden Sherd. And it was 3-1 at the end of the first period. Shots on goals for the Mustangs, 19-9. And a power play goal and 2 shorthanded goals for the Mustangs. Now, the second period was rather quiet on the scoreboard, but not on the penalty box. Jamie Burke picked up another goal from Pat O'Kane and Jeff Grant at 8 minutes and 7 seconds to go in the period to have that score 4-1 at the end of the second period. Shots on goals to the Mustangs, 12-8. But wait until you hear about these penalties in the second period, where this is where the frustration would have really started to kick in. Right at the start of the period, Joey Hughes received a 10-minute misconduct for the Mustangs. And then at the same time, Chris Wilson from the North Stars copped 2 minutes for roughing. And then at 11:02 for the North Stars, Matt Lindsay 2 minutes for hooking. At 10:08 for the North Stars, goaltender Harrison May 2 minutes for slashing, so someone else would have served that on his behalf. And then at 4 minutes and 8 seconds, JFK, John F. Kennedy Jr., he received 2 minutes for a check to the head and a 10-minute misconduct. And then with 16 seconds to go, the North Stars again, Stuart Cole-Clark 2 minutes for hooking, and for the Mustangs, Captain Sean Jones 2 minutes for holding the stick at 16 seconds to go. So a very, very frustrating period for the North Stars, with a 10-minute misconduct in there, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minor penalties in that stage. End of the second period, the score was 4-1. And then with the third period, it was two goals apiece in the third period. But due to all the people in the penalty box, all 4 goals in the third period were power play goals, which is something that I haven't seen a lot of this year in the Australian Ice Hockey League. Power play goals haven't always been forthcoming. The Mustangs opened up the third period at 14 minutes 20. A power play goal to Sean Jones from Victor Gibson and Joey Hughes. And then the North Stars struck back about a minute later. Adam Jerick from Jason Chalk and Katie Danberg. And then with 5 minutes 21 to go, Brendan McDowell got a power play goal from Alan Moss and Pat O'Kane. And to close up the scoring, Bo Taylor from Matt Lindsay and Katie Danberg from the North Stars to finish up with a final score of 6-3. So a high-scoring game. Mustangs finished shots on goal 21-17 for the third period and a total of 52-34 for the game. Power plays. The Mustangs had 11 power plays. They converted 3 of them for 27.3%. The North Stars had 6 power plays and they converted 2 out of 6 for 33%. And the penalties in the third period, oh man, this is going to take a while. For the Mustangs at 19:03, Alan Moss 2 minutes for holding. For the Mustangs at 17:13, Jack Wogamuth for hooking. At 16:01 for the North Stars, Katie Danberg for roughing. And at the same time, Vinny hears from the Mustangs for roughing as well. At 14:52, Matt Taylor, 2 minutes for elbowing from the North Stars. And at 14:20, a 10-minute misconduct for Sean James at 14:20 for the Mustangs. And then at 13:25, Brendan McDowell for a high stick. And it still continues. And then we have North Star penalties at 11:40, 9:14, 8:17. Big incident, obviously, at the 8:17 mark. There were penalties to Josh Hansen for holding for 2 minutes, a 2 minute minor for hooking for Matt Taylor. Chris Wilson had a game misconduct for a check from behind. So he got a 2 minute minor for that, a misconduct and a game misconduct for that. And JFK also received a 2 minutes for high sticking from that point as well. So lots of penalties there out of the 8:17. And then it continues for the North Stars at 6:51, Adam Jerick for roughing. And then for the Mustangs, Adrian Nash, 2 minutes for elbowing at the 3 minute mark. And then to close up, one for each team at 1:41. David Ferrari from the North Stars and Andrew Bellick from the Mustangs, both 2 minutes for roughing. So if you have a look at the goaltenders, Harrison May saved 46 from 52, so he had a lot of work to do. And Fraser Carson for the Mustangs, 31 saves from 34 shots. So a high scoring, but also a very high penalty game. I think the quote was something like 104 penalty minutes or something like that. Out of that game for the North Stars, Chris Wilson picked up 34 penalty minutes, JFK 14, Matt Taylor 4, Josh Hansen 2, Katie Danberg 2, David Ferrari 4, and Matt Lindsay 2. And then having a look at the penalty minutes for the Mustangs, 10 minutes to Joey Hughes, 12 minutes to Sean James, 2 minutes for Jack Wugamuth and Brendan McDowell, and Adrian Nash and Alan Moss picked up 4 minutes, and Vinnie Hughes 2 minutes, and Andrew Bellick 2 minutes as well. So lots and lots of penalties, and lots of frustrated supporters, players and officials on both teams figuring out what was going on. But there's only one thing to look at the end, and that's the scoreboard, 6-3 to the Mustangs. And if that wasn't enough for the North Stars, then there was the Sunday game, which is the current Fox Sports game of the week for the Australian Ice Hockey League. The Melbourne Ice ended up winning 5-4. It was a very, very close game. Lots of penalties in this one as well. The North Stars had 6 power plays and the Melbourne Ice had 9. The North Stars actually opened up the scoring in this one. Not very within the first minute. Katie Danberg, rather, from Adam Gehrig, and JFK scored the first goal for the North Stars very early in the period. The Ice picking up the 2 remaining goals. The first one was shorthanded Todd Graham from Matt Armstrong and Liam Webster. And then Jeff Smith got his name on the scoreboard from Jason Bellick. Jeff Smith actually picked up the Fox Sports game player of the match in that one. Shots a goal for the Ice, 15-5 for the first period. And at the end of the first period, it was 2-1 to the Melbourne Ice. Now, having a look at the penalties, again, penalties played a big part in this one. At 9:55, Tim Johansson from the Ice picked up a 2 minute minor for a check from behind and a 10 minute misconduct. At 8:09, Matt Taylor from the North Stars picked up 2 minutes for hooking. And then at 7:06, Katie Damberg picked up a 10-minute misconduct. David Ferrari, a 2-minute mining rougher. Harrison May, a 2-minute miner for roughing. And there was a team penalty for a bench miner at 7:06 as well. And if that wasn't enough, Jeff Smith also had a little bit of a sit down, 2 minutes for high sticking for the ice. And so we move on to the second period, and the goals actually favoured the North Stars in the second period. The first goal being at 11 minutes 31 seconds, Hayden Sherd from Matt Taylor and Bo Taylor, and then Bo Taylor at 10 minutes 55 from Katie Damberg and Matt Lindsay, and then 5 minutes later, a power play goal to the ice, Tommy Power from Tim Johansson and Matt Armstrong to close up the second period. So the second period saw a score of 2-1 for the period to the North Stars, but it was still it was 3-3 at this stage, and who knows what was going to happen in the third period. Shots at goal again favoured the ice, 11-7 for the period. Then for the third period, just reading back on Twitter, and I haven't seen the game on Fox yet, there was lots of backwards and forwards. It was a very tense and exciting game. The North Stars opened up the scoring again in the third period with a power play goal to Hayden Sherd for his second for the game, from Bo Taylor and JFK. And then to end the game up, the ice picked up 2 goals, 14:52 a goal to Matt Armstrong from Todd Graham and Austin McKenzie. And Jeff Smith picked himself up a double. Go Jeff Smith! Picked himself up a double from Tommy Powell and Matt Armstrong at 7 minutes 26. And so looking at the penalties were a dominating factor again. Shots at goal in the third period ended up favouring the North Stars 15-14, but overall the ice outshot the North Stars 40-27. Final result, it was 5-4 to the ice after that. And as I said, penalties played a big part in the second and third periods as well. In the second period, David Ferrari picked himself up a 10-minute misconduct at 8:49, and Hayden Sherd picked up one for hooking at the same time. Jeff Smith picked himself up a misconduct from the ice at 8:04, JFK at the same time, 2 minutes for hooking, and then for the North Stars, Katie Danberg for slashing at 6 minutes 40. And to finish up the period penalty-wise for the ice at 1 minute 42, Jeremy Brown for charging. And then for the third period, more penalties. Todd Graham from the ice opened up at 18:15, 2 minutes for interference. Mitch Humphreys from the ice, 2 minutes for cross-checking at 12:59, and then a couple for the North Stars at 11:10 for Katie Damberg for hooking, 10:29 Bo Taylor for high sticking, and at 9:27 David Ferrari for roughing. Another one for the ice at 6:07, Greg Storick for charging at 6:08. Final penalty for the North Stars at 5:42, Nick Orford Quirk for slashing, and at 2 minutes 28, Liam Webster for holding for the ice. So having a look at the goaltenders, Harrison May played the entire game as he usually does, saving 35 from 40. And then for the ice, Jaden Pine Murphy played the entire game, saving 23 from 27. So a very frustrating weekend for the Newcastle North Stars. Their finals chances, you would have to say, would be over. So before we go to the next break for the end of the next period, let's have a look at the ladders for the Australian Ice Hockey League at the end of that weekend. Keeping in mind that the Adrenaline have two games to make up, the Brave have one game to make up, and the Bears also have one game to make up due to the Adrenaline bus crash over the weekend. The Mustangs are on top of the table with 38 points. 2 points behind them are the Ice Dogs on 36, the Ice on 35, and the Brave on 30. That's your top four: Mustangs, Ice Dogs, Ice, and Brave. 1 point behind the Brave, but we've won two games in hand, but 1 point out of the finals so far. We have the Adrenaline on 29. Close, but probably not close enough at this stage. Who knows? The Thunder on 25, the North Stars on 23, and the Bears on 21. So realistically, you've got to choose for the top four from Mustangs, Ice Dogs, Ice and Brave, and the Adrenaline. And I dare say the Thunder, the North Stars, and the Bears are just too far back, and the other teams are playing better than them anyway. So there's a five-point gap at the moment between the Brave and the Ice. The Brave have one game in hand, but lots and lots of interesting games coming up, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with those rescheduled games and also to see what the top four is going to be. Looking at the scoring leaders, Simon Barg had another great weekend with 49 points, so he goes again to the top of the scoring leaders. The next two players, Stephen Blunden and Matthew Olietti from the Brave on 48 and 42 points respectively. They didn't play because of the bus crash, and Stephen Blunden still has his one game suspension to serve from the Ice Dogs game that I'll talk about a little bit later. Another good weekend for David Dunwoody from the Sydney Ice Dogs on 41 points. Anton Kokkonen from the Brave, he didn't play this weekend either, so he's on 36. Followed by Matt Armstrong from the Ice on 34. John Cleo back from inline on 32. And Pat O'Kane from the Mustangs also on 32.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
cash or legal check. And you know that means that your brain hit the side of your head. Ah. Because you wear shin pads. So why stop them? 'Cause if you wear a helmet, you can skate your next shift. I like to wear my helmet around.
Why is that, Pete?
That way in the games I don't feel like it's slowing me down.
Now that makes sense.
So I wear a helmet. And the games too.
You're listening to episode 7 of Erk to the Penalty
Box.
You
know, I was thinking, what are the kids like? The kids love hockey. And what else do kids like?
They love monkeys.
Monkeys.
And apparently they like monkeys and hockey. Anywho, I'm Erk. This is episode 7 of Erk to the Penalty Box, period number 3. And let's have a look at the competition ladder as it stands and what is coming up for your team in the run to the finals. Let's have a look at them from top down and tell you what's happening this weekend and what's coming up. The Melbourne Mustangs, as I mentioned earlier, they defeated the Newcastle North Stars 6-3 last Saturday. They actually have a weekend off this weekend, so no games for the Mustangs. And interestingly enough, no games at the Ice House this week either, because the Melbourne Ice are on the road. And so this weekend, they have the weekend off, and then after that, the following weekend, they have two games against the Thunder in Perth, two games against the Brave in Canberra. They have the Melbourne Derby, which is a home game for them against the Ice. They then have the North Stars at home, and then for the final week, they go away to New South Wales and they face the North Stars and then the Ice Dogs. So needless to say, not a lot to talk about the Mustangs this week. They'll remain where they are on 38 points. If the Sydney Ice Dogs win this weekend and they're playing the Melbourne Ice, they could actually jump the Mustangs, and by this time next week, we could be talking about the Ice Dogs first. Last week, they played the Thunder, as I mentioned earlier, winning 5-3 at Liverpool on Sunday. And this weekend, unfortunately, I actually won't be at this game, but this will be a good game to go to if you're in Sydney. The Ice Dogs versus the Melbourne Ice should be a very, very interesting game indeed. And I think that the game will be extra good because the Ice Dogs are in really, really good form at the moment. They've won four games in a row and they'll be looking to make it five against the Ice. The Ice were red hot towards the start of the season. They've had a bit of a form slump, then they put 10 goals on the Bears and they had a tight one against the North Stars next week. So it'll be interesting to see how the Ice go against quality opposition in the Ice Dogs next week. So the Ice Dogs, on their run home, they have the Ice at home on Sunday, and then they have the North Stars away, the Bears away, and then they play the Thunder at home, a weekend trip away to Perth, so two more games against the Thunder. So they play three games in a row against the Thunder, and then they finish up with the Mustangs at home. Then, 1 point behind the Sydney Ice Dogs in third position, we have the Melbourne Ice, who are on 35 points. They, as I mentioned earlier, had an epic battle against the North Stars, winning 5-4 in Melbourne last week. They're on the road. They are playing the North Stars again next Saturday, or this Saturday night coming, up at the Hunter Valley. So they play the North Stars on Saturday and the Ice Dogs on Sunday at Liverpool. So those two games will be very interesting to see where Melbourne Ice head up to. If they win both of those games, they could be on 41 points. So they too might be at the top of the table, who knows, by this stage. So remaining games, they have their final road trip this weekend against the North Stars and the Ice Dogs away. Then they host the Adrenaline for two games in Melbourne. They have the Melbourne Derby against the Mustangs. And then they play the North Stars and two games against the Thunder at home. So this is the last weekend of travel for the Melbourne Ice. As I mentioned earlier, the CBR Brave are coming up next. They're fourth on 30 points. They have a game in hand due to that cancelled game against the Adrenaline. And they didn't play last weekend due to the bus crash that I mentioned earlier. But there's been a lot of praise heaped on the Brave this week due to their hospitality for the Adrenaline when they eventually did arrive into Canberra. So congratulations to everyone at the Brave and in general across the league, because a lot of people really reached out to the Adrenaline, whether it be for offers of assistance or just some best wishes. Greatly appreciated, I dare say, against the Adrenaline. So they didn't play last week. They have two games against Perth this weekend in Perth. Now, because of that game last week was postponed against the Adrenaline in Canberra, it's my understanding that both of the players that were suspended after the Ice Dogs game, Stephen Blunden and Harry Byers, are still suspended for one of the games against Perth. So I can't see the league saying, oh, well, we postponed the game against the Adrenaline, so that counts as your game suspension. It's not going to work like that. So it'll be very interesting to see if they indeed take Byers and Blunden away, considering they'll only play one game in Perth. Now, will the Thunder have the benefit of not having Blunden for both games? Will the Brave blunder by leaving Blunden at home? I'm not sure what they're going to do at this stage, but even if they take him over just for the one game, I'm not sure if they'll do that. But either way, he'll serve his suspension on Saturday, as will Harry Byers. So they have two games away against the Thunder. They have a game at home against the North Stars, and then they play the Bears away, two games against the Mustangs at home, two games against the Adrenaline away, a game against the Bears away, and they still have that rescheduled match against Adelaide, time and venue to be advised. Back on 29 points, the last realistic hope for the finals, the Adelaide Adrenaline. Of course, they have had a horror weekend. It was supposed to be Greg Oddie's 300th game in the Australian Ice Hockey League on Sunday. That didn't happen, but fortunately this weekend they are at home in Adelaide. Hopefully all the boys are fit and well after that incident last week. And hopefully Greg Oddie will have an awesome game 300 against the Bears. So two games against the Bears this weekend in Adelaide. It'll be interesting to see how they pull up after that game. They will have a spectacular crowd there over the weekend, I dare say. They've got two games against the Bears at home, two games against the Ice away, and then two games against the Brave at home. And they have two rescheduled games to play against the Brave and the Bears, respectively. Times and venues to be advised. This is probably the best time for the Bears to get the Adrenaline straight after last weekend. That will be very interesting to see how the Adrenaline pull up after that one. So they've got a couple of games in hand, so it'll be interesting to see how they go after that one. Making a comeback, but I think probably too far realistically to be away from the finals at this stage, are the Perth Thunder. They're now in sixth position on 22 points. They had a 4-1 win against the Bears on Saturday and a 5-3 loss to the Ice Dogs on Sunday, but they played very well both days. This week, as I mentioned, they'll be hosting the Brave in Perth. So they've got two games against the Brave at home. They've got two games against the Mustangs at home. And then they've got another away trip to Sydney and Newcastle, playing the North Stars and the Ice Dogs. Then they have a couple of games against the Ice Dogs at home. So they play the Ice Dogs three times in a row. And then they finish with the Melbourne Ice in Melbourne for their last games of the year. It'll be very interesting to see how they play at home. They played well last week, and you know they've got a bit of momentum up now, so hopefully that should be a very couple of interesting games from the Thunderdome. Then we look down to the Newcastle North Stars, who are on 23 points in 7th position. They had two losses in Melbourne, 6-3 to the Mustangs and 5-4 to the Ice, but as I mentioned earlier, they were basically penalised out of both of them. This weekend they have the Ice at home, and then they have the Brave away, Ice Dogs at home, Thunder at home, Bears at home, Mustangs away, Ice away, and Mustangs away. So they've got a couple of trips to Melbourne still to make, and also a trip down to Canberra. And then finally, the Sydney Bears. They played better last week than the previous weekend, but That game was a very down-tempo game against Perth. They lost 4-1. They've got a road trip to Adelaide this weekend, and as I mentioned in the adrenaline preview, this is probably the best time of year for the Bears to get the adrenaline after that, and we'll see what they can do. They have two games against the adrenaline away. They've got the Brave at home, the Ice Dogs at home for the Battle of Sydney, the North Stars away, and then the Brave at home, and then they've got a rescheduled game against the adrenaline in hand. But I dare say the Bears, the Thunder, and the North Stars will be merely playing for pride now rather than a semi-finals position. But having said that, we'll see what they can do. So we have a full weekend of Australian Ice Hockey League action. Unfortunately, I won't get to see any of it because I've got other commitments on Sunday, namely my place of employment. My original plan was actually to go to Adelaide this weekend, but the International Hockey Series is on for the Douglas Webber Cup, and I had a little bit of a rant last week in relation to, you know, what you can see on the front page of their website in relation to who won. I believe, just by looking at Twitter, that the series is now 2-1 to Canada. They've played two games in Perth, one game in Brisbane last weekend, and now they have a game in Melbourne on Friday night and a game in Sydney on Saturday night as I record this. We will see what happens. I will tell you more about it next week. I will tell you more about next week, how I thought of the game, who I saw. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of people there. Some of them, this is probably their first taste of hockey, but the challenge will be converting them to the Australian Ice Hockey League. That'll be very interesting to see how we go. But it's going to be interesting to see all the big production and everything like that. So we have two games to come in this series, and I'll tell you next week how we go in relation to that. But I still can't tell you, according to their page, what happened. So we've just about come to the end of the third period here on Irk to the Penalty Box, episode number 7. Depending on what I actually record at the International Hockey Series in Sydney, there may actually be two shows next week. I haven't decided what's going to happen. Of course, I'll need a complete show to tell you about what's happening in the Australian Ice Hockey League. And then I might do a special from there. We'll just see what happens in relation to that. So a great weekend of hockey coming up. As I mentioned earlier, I won't be able to see any of it. But indeed, if you do follow the action on Twitter, that's probably a great place to follow along the action. And various people either doing it themselves or doing it via a club, you can see live tweets from the venues, and you can see exactly what goes on. I was reading various tweets from various people in Melbourne over the weekend, from all of the clubs concerned and hockey fans and whatnot, and I could see that they were very, very frustrated. And I also learnt that there is a bit of a trick to reading the score via the Melbourne Mustangs live tweets. If you see the word scores and one exclamation mark, that means that it's the first goal for the Mustangs. If you see two exclamation marks after the word scores, that means it's two. And, well, we got to see all the way up to six last week. So that was a very interesting way of finding out how that particular happens, you know, with the different exclamation marks. So there is a system and a method behind the madness there. And, of course, the some guy conversation that I was having during the Ice Dogs and Thunder game. A lot of the time when I'm live tweeting, I'm basically concentrating on what's going on. I might have a quick look at my mentions or what else is going on in the league, but usually that's between the periods. But yeah, it was very interesting to have the some guy conversation and that sort of thing. So that was rather cool. Another interesting thing that happened is that the Commonwealth Games have started. Now, if you're not from Australia or a Commonwealth country, you probably don't even know what the Commonwealth Games are. Think of the Olympic Games, but for member countries of the Commonwealth. So countries like Australia, countries like New Zealand, Canada, the various countries that make up the UK, that sort of thing. And just think of all of those, you know, you probably got Fiji, Tonga, Cook Islands, all of those sort of countries as well. And so it's on the, it's in the middle of the Olympic cycle. So you have the Olympics every 4 years, and then in the middle of that period is the Commonwealth Games. Not a lot of people tend to care about it, but we had a suggestion this week that the Australian Ice Hockey League social media team actually put out there, suggesting that ice hockey should be a Commonwealth Games sport. But the way I look at it is we're coming up to the end of our final season, our final series. We're coming up to the end of that, and we've had various people going away for various competitions during our season, representing Australia and other countries on the world scene in various forms of the game, whether it be ice hockey or inline. And, you know, they're genuine world-class competitions. So why would you want to lose a whole team worth of players, and also maybe even the Canadian players as well, the Canadian imports, the occasional Kiwi or whatever? Why would you want to lose those to the Commonwealth Games that nobody really cares about, right at the time of the final series, or just before the final series? Why would you want to do that? I have absolutely no idea. But regardless of where you are, have a great week, and it's now full time. Our music in between the periods, of course, was supplied by the Zambonis. And this week, considering that I got to hang out with some Thunder fans, and also I got to see the Perth Thunder live for a couple of games this weekend just gone, I thought that for our music in the middle of the action, and also as the post-game entertainment, I thought I'd feature a band called Prescient. Now, Prescient have just announced that they're breaking up, but the different band members are going in their separate directions. They are an independent, unsigned metal band, apart from anything else, from Perth, so there's the Perth theme. But these guys purposely don't have a vocalist. Couple of guys just playing their guitars. They don't have a vocalist, and they're doing that quite on purpose. Occasionally, they might get a couple of guys in to, you know, maybe do a guest vocal spot or whatever, but if you don't like the screamy of heavy metal, well, with Prescient, you won't have to worry, because there is no vocals. There are no vocals. Anywho, I'm Merc. Thanks for listening. Keep your stick on the ice and keep out of the penalty box. And until next time, be good. And he's Prescient.